Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad and Lad podcast. This is Jonathan here.
And this is Lawson, the dad. But Johnny's also a dad, but he's my lad.
That's right. And we are at the season finale of Building a Christian Home, where we're going to try to bring this together, try to wrap this up. So let's do a quick recap, shall we?
Excellent. So some of the things we've chatted about, I remember us chatting about the importance of submission. Grace was a great topic. We did families on mission as well.
Yep.
What else did we do?
Part one and part two, speaking about how we need to be missional as a family. We talked about truth and how it needs to be, we need to be formed in God's word.
Right.
We also talked about community and how we can't think of ourselves as just doing this alone. We need to come alongside the greater family of God. And actually, we started it off with wisdom, looking at how we need to lean into God's wisdom that He offers us in the decisions that we make.
Right.
But let's make this personal and let's bring this together. Where are we going?
So for our final episode, I got to thinking about just recently, you know how much I like reading, but I was thinking about something that Johann von Goethe said, and he said, and I quote, "Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least." And I was reading that and I thought, I wonder how that applies to building a Christian home. And I thought, I'm going to ask Jonathan. Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. How do you think that applies to building a Christian home?
Well, if I'm understanding the quote correctly, Goethe is saying that don't let things of lesser significance and importance overtake what's more important.
Absolutely.
Just saying it in a different way. And there are lots of things that will demand your attention. Lesser things, but which can seem like bigger things. And especially within a home that's a busy home, sometimes we can easily lose sight of that from the schedules of day-to-day, week-to-week living and things that are necessary at times, the grocery shopping, the errands that we need to run, even some of the fun activities that we can get our kids involved in from sports or just different initiatives or things that we want to do within our community or people that we want to see or all these little things that definitely add up and do take away our time.
But are also big things because that's what we have to do.
And maybe it's not so much losing those things in its entirety, but recognizing what is most important. And I think of how my wife and I pray for our kids each night, and that is actually very simple. Our simple prayer for our kids is, may they come to know you, Jesus. And so we make it really personal. And they're at an age where they're still young and learning about Jesus, but our hope is that they would come into a personal relationship with Jesus. That simple prayer actually forms what are the greater thing. The greatest thing that we would hope for in our home is that they would come to know Jesus.
You know, as you say that, it reminds me of a story in the Bible, a well-known story, a very, very short story, where there was a bunch of parents that knew that the one thing that was more important than any other thing was to connect their children with Jesus. And I'm guessing everyone can immediately guess what I'm thinking about, and it's that passage in Matthew 19 that speaks about bringing the little children to Jesus.
Let's go to it now and let's read it.
Yeah, well, why don't you read it for us, Johnny?
Matthew 19, verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there.
Wonderful. You know, as you're reading that, the very first thought that comes to mind is, one, the context, which we haven't read there, but he was out in the countryside preaching to these crowds of people, and yet these parents I'm guessing primarily mothers, but there may have been fathers. I don't know, because little children couldn't have just wandered and found him themselves. They made a concerted effort to bring them, the children, to Jesus. So that alone is the first thing that catches my attention with this.
Well, even with that, we do. I see that we assumed parents, and in many cases, many of them would be parents. But it does say then people brought little children to Jesus, which is a good reminder that even if you do not have children of your own, you can still build a Christian home on Jesus.
Oh, I like that.
And that you can be part of the people that bring children to Jesus.
So it might have been uncles, aunts,
sure,
grandparents, neighbors.
It just says people, which is a good reminder that even going back to our episode about community, that it doesn't necessitate that you have to have children in your home to actually do the work of building a Christian home on Jesus for younger children and youth, right? And so we all, as God's people, should be involved in bringing children to Jesus. Everyone. No one's excluded. It reminds me, actually, in our very first season of this podcast, we started with grandparents.
Right.
Thinking of, even there, there's no such thing as retirement.
Right.
For doing ministry and unpacking the truth, the next generation.
So it was the people who brought them to Jesus. I like the fact that the focus is that they brought them to Jesus. They could have brought them to his disciples.
Yeah.
They could have just brought him to the meeting, so to speak, to be with the bigger group. But they were very intent on bringing them to Jesus. And the text tells us why, doesn't it?
To place his hands on them and to pray for them. So for something personal, for something that would be more than just a meeting to go to or things to learn, it was to actually have something intimate, an encounter with Jesus where hands would be placed, there would be, and can we use our creative imagination of how Jesus would have received them? I can't imagine Jesus would have said, okay, get in line and who's been good and let's pick the children with good attitudes right now. I would imagine that the children would have come, they would have been swarming, there would have been hugs, there would have been laughter, because it wouldn't have been like this super... I can't imagine Jesus just doing this in a serious way.
Oh, not at all.
I think he would understand the heart of a child.
His eyes would have been sparkling, he would have been extending a welcome in every way.
And that's what children, going back to, children need to have that beautiful encounter where they fall in love with Jesus. So we need to have children meet with Jesus, which means...
Well, let me just jump in there and back up to the fact that you mentioned there from the text that they brought them to him to place his hands on them and pray for them. They brought them to him for a time of intimacy. And even as you were reading that part, it suddenly struck me, even as I look back on the parenting that Mum and I did, I don't remember me thinking to myself, you know, what I really want for my children is a special intimate moment with Jesus. Maybe I did. I have a bad memory. But what a thought for us as parents or grandparents with our children to be wanting a special moment of intimacy and making that the goal. That's the objective, and pursuing that intentionally, because that's what happens in the text here. What would our families look like if that's what we were after?
If that was our prayerful focus, that's what we were hoping, and that's what we're trying to lead children into, where there is experience, there is a matter of aha moments, more than just here's knowledge of God's word, here is...
And personal encounter.
Yep, we're talking personal encounter. It's praying into that alone... that our children would have that experience.
Yeah.
It's something powerful. And bringing the children to Jesus, as you mentioned, this, there's already talk about this, this wouldn't have been something easy, because for one thing, you said they would have to, in this context, there was, not the familiar acceptance of children being, well received in that culture.
No, they were more seen and not heard.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't have the same status as adults, certainly.
And then on the next layer, we see as even the parents of these people are bringing the children to Jesus, it says the disciples rebuke these people. So now we have Jesus' own followers pushing.
Chasing them away.
Chasing them away. Wow.
Which, that just raises another interesting thought, doesn't it? And recognition that there will be those who will try and stop our children from connecting with Jesus. That even within the religious establishment, yes, where you shouldn't expect that, there will be roadblocks, ways to prevent children from engaging with Jesus. Which says that we, for those of us who are trying to bring them to him, one, we should expect that and not be surprised when it happens. And two, we need to be prepared to get beyond that.
And I guess it's a warning that within the church and within God's people, including us, we still struggle with sin. And in our sinfulness, we can easily resort to religion over relationship.
Yeah.
But religion will actually hurt children from actually coming to know him. Religion stings because religion puts up guards of saying these are things you need to do to be good enough to come to God.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas relationship and Jesus says that you're never going to be good enough, but he's going to welcome you as you are and receive you in his grace.
Mm-hmm. There's also the sense for me as you bring about the religious thing. Because in religion, we tend to make priorities, which tend to be our priorities. And it seems like the disciples' priority was Jesus is teaching and he's doing important adult work here.
Yeah.
So don't mess with that. But that wasn't Jesus' priority. And I think that's another thing we need to recognize. Jesus' priority is always for us. And he prioritizes children as much as he prioritizes adults, old or young.
Well, let's take a pause here, because going into the rest of the story, we see that Jesus actually takes it up a significant notch higher.
Yes.
We'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening to the Dad and Lad podcast, a ministry brought to you by Scripture Union Canada. Hey, if you have enjoyed the content that we have been creating, why don't you just take a moment right now to share the podcast with some family, with some friends, and let's continue to encourage one another in our community of faith to build Christian homes on Jesus. All right, back to the podcast. All right, back to our story. Jesus then says to the disciples who were rebuking the crowds and bringing the children, he says to his disciples, let the children come to me. In a very stern way, I can imagine. And he says, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Okay, what is Jesus getting at when he says the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these?
Well, just before I jump to that, just to push back with the first part of his rebuke, if you like. It does seem to me that we need to make sure that none of us, because I don't want to miss this point, none of us are getting in the way of children coming to Jesus, either by what we do or by what we don't do.
Yeah,
I think that's hugely important, and we need to be very much aware of that, because it's obviously massively on God's agenda that children connect with him. So that's the first part of that. What are we doing that might hinder children? Let's make sure we don't.
What would be a very practical thing that you can imagine would actually put children and young people off from meeting Jesus?
Well, sometimes I think
we can do.
Yeah.
That's sometimes we do.
I think sometimes just by ignoring them. Sometimes with the stuff we do in church, for example. We're so busy about our adult stuff that we forget about the children. Sometimes it's just simply that we've ignored them. So sometimes it's not actively inviting them into the discussion, into the community that's being created. I've noticed even when we greet each other in church, we'll say hello to the other adults and their children are standing there, and sometimes we forget to say hello to them and engage with them by name. That should never happen. We should do everything we can to invite their connectivity with the faith community, because that's part of connecting them with Christ.
I also think that for children and young people who have yet to follow Jesus, they are going to be living lives of trying to discern who they are, their identity. And young people with identity trying to discern that, they are going to look probably different, doing things that we might frown upon. Maybe even all the things that we might have. Okay, they look funny, they do these funny things, and if we stopped at a legalistic way of just judging, why is that young person wearing a backwards hat in church, or why is that person wearing that, or things like that, if we only look at the superficial things and come across as legalistically towards them of saying, why are you doing this, or casting judgment...
So our attitude needs to be right.
Our attitudes can also really put off, especially young people. And I just wanted to put that in there because I've heard so many stories of young people who have quickly fallen out of the church because a little comment
or something. They felt judged.
They felt judged. Yeah, and that's a huge thing. But Jesus says, come to me. We need to still be ones to come to Jesus. Can we look past where they are at right now and push them to say, come to me?
Excellent. Excellent. So then on to your question about what does it mean the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I think there's many answers to that. I think the most obvious answer is that at any stage of life, Christ welcomes us to come to him. And I think that's an important recognition, because we seem to sometimes think, well, our children need more knowledge, or our children don't know everything that they should know about Jesus yet. Jesus seems to ignore all of that stuff and simply say, come to me. Because it's in the coming to him that we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because as we know elsewhere, the scriptures refer to Jesus as the king, and a king has a kingdom. And I think that's a part of it as well. I think another part of it as well is also the fact that children come more guilelessly. They come without a whole lot of predetermined sort of conditions and thinking. They simply come.
Which, to take that, very interesting, within the context of the Gospel of Matthew, we see that just before this, we see all these challenges that the Pharisees and religious leaders were coming at Jesus with. They were putting Jesus at an arm's length, and they were challenging, they were probing him, and they were doing discernment from a mental game, but actually they didn't have a willingness of heart even to receive the truth that he was giving them.
Yes.
And I don't think it was just the religious leaders. I can imagine many adults at that time were doing the exact same thing. They were probing, but not having a willingness of heart. And even we see in chapter 18, one chapter before this, we see Jesus say to his disciples, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. He makes the emphasis of, how do you become like a little child? Well, we see in this story, the children ran to Jesus with, like you said, with no...
inhibition.
No inhibition.
And a humility as well.
And
I think that's important, because as we grow older, issues of pride seem to entrench themselves and develop more and more. But children are just, I'm just a kid.
Yeah. And so Jesus celebrates this sort of faith in him that says, we will willingly come to Jesus no matter what. And so as we think about what this means, building a Christian home on Jesus for children and the young people to truly grasp who Jesus is, we ourselves, and not just parents, but we as the church, we need to have this sort of faith where we come to Jesus without inhibition.
So we ourselves have to become children.
Yeah, and we need to model this. We need to, if children see us falling to the knee, our knees, and coming to Jesus over and over and over again, and pouring our hearts out to him, and having this relationship of authentic dependence and trust in him. If our children see this sort of relationship modeled, can we imagine that they will actually then be brought to him as well in a similar way?
Well, you started out when we started on this saying, I can picture how Jesus must have looked and responded to the children. And we spoke about how he would have been welcoming in every way. I think we should also exercise our sanctified imagination and picture how the children would have come to him. I bet that there was little kids just booting it up, running and excited. I guess there were even some that were already holding out their arms before they got to him. But what does that look like for us as an adult?
To run to him.
To be running to him. Have our children seen that in us? Mm. Where there's just that abandonment and that excitement and just anticipation of what this encounter is going to be like. Because all of that I capture in the sense of the children coming to Jesus.
Hmm.
And that should be modeled in the home and as part of how we should be building the Christian home. Do our children see us with that desire and approach?
Hmm. With that thought and picture in mind, let's close off our season 2 of Building a Christian Home on Jesus with that picture itself. May we ourselves embrace Christ, grow in Christ, and point our children and this next generation to him as we abandon ourselves in trust and faith in our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Maybe I should just have a word of prayer as we close. Lord, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he is the one who loves our family and desires for our children and us to come to him. Help us to make Jesus the center of our home, the most important person in our family. Help us to build our homes on Jesus. In his precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for listening to the Dad and Lad podcast. Once again, we encourage you to share this content with families and friends, and we will be coming back with season 3 sooner than later. God bless. Bye.